Today begins a week of missions emphasis on the campus of Bob Jones University. This is an annual opportunity to focus our attention on the work of God around the world. Our theme this year is Soldiers of Christ, Arise, drawn from 2 Timothy 2, 2 through 4, where the Apostle Paul states, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Many classes this week will be addressed by one of the many missionary representatives who are on campus from 60 different organizations. Each of these organizations has an informational display in the Riley Room of the Student Center, and you are encouraged to go by and learn about how God is building his kingdom around the world. Detailed information about schedules and events for this week can be found both in the Missions Emphasis Week booklets, such as this, that are available in various places around campus, and as well on the university intranet. Let me talk just for a moment about the theme. This past summer, my son became a United States Marine. Hoorah. And I learned from interaction with him, what little interaction we had as he went to boot camp, that his whole life was now dominated by the Corps, and they decided what was best for him in every possible point of life. It occurs to me that as believers, we are also in a time of war. We are in a battle for truth and for the souls of men. And we must adopt a military mindset, a wartime mentality, in which we recognize that Jesus Christ, as our commander, has the right to determine every aspect of our lives. This week, as we focus on the fact that we are as well under orders, soldiers of the cross, we hope to draw your attention to that call, soldiers of Christ, arise. To help us distinguish that call, Dr. Jones has invited missionary John Zimmer to speak to us these days in chapel. John earned an undergraduate degree from BJU in 1995 and a master's degree in 1997. After that, he served as an assistant pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brooksville, Wisconsin. Then the Lord directed his family to serve as missionaries with biblical ministries worldwide on the island of Palau. They have served in Palau for the past 5.5 years. John and his wife, Jamie, who is here with us this morning, have been married for 16 years, and they have 3 children. John comes from a family of missionaries. His parents serve in Puerto Rico. He has a sister in Africa. He has 2 brothers in Micronesia on the island of Yap. And he has another sister serving in Mexico. As John comes and speaks to us this week, I hope that you will catch his burden for missions, his heart for Christ, and his desire to see you serve the Lord and hear and answer the call.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here with you all. I guess being up here sort of reminds me of a couple of years ago, we had a mission team come to Palau, and the guys were a basketball team, and they wanted to do something daring. And so they climbed up on this 40 or 50 foot cliff, and they all jumped, and they pushed me to jump as well. And I stood there, and I didn't want to look. I just jumped. And that's kind of the way I feel this morning. As I came out of the room there, I really didn't want to look because there's a bunch of you guys and girls here. In Palau, the way I preach, we wear like a local shirt, bare feet, and I sit on a stool. And I think that would be a little bit more comfortable for me this morning, but that's where we're at this morning. I'm excited about what the theme is, Soldiers of Christ Arise. There's a great need in this world. And as I've been thinking about what God is putting on my heart, I've just realized that this is a great opportunity for us. As a student body, I hope and pray that you'll allow God to just take the few minutes of our time each day for the next few days and just to take out the Holy Spirit, to take out the flashlight and look into your heart and see if there's anything that is blocking you to be that kind of a soldier that God wants you to be. You know, our primary calling in life, the main goal in our life, is that we could be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. J.C. Riley, in his book Holiness, said that true Christianity is a fight. True Christianity is a fight. And as I thought about that, it hit me that it's not a fight over hobby horses or preferences. So many times we think we're doing the fight by bickering with each other as Christians. That's not what this fight is about. It's a spiritual war against evil, wicked rulers in high places. It's not a fight with other Christians. It's a fight that is bigger than we would ever understand. And we need God's help. What you hear this week is not going to be an example of homiletic perfection. Please understand, I'm going to do my best. Critique the form and, you know, you can learn from my mistakes. But please don't miss the message. There are too many guys that graduate with all the homiletic skills, but they don't have the heart of a soldier. And so they get out and they go AWOL. Everything is gone. You're in pivotal years of your life. These are years that you can turn course. You can adjust your settings and make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. Our theme is, as Mark has said, is soldiers of Christ arise. And the main verses that we're really going to focus on in these next days are verses 3 and 4. But as I was preparing for this time together, God really laid on my heart that if we are going to understand how to be good soldiers, we have to go back to verse 1. There's no way we can be a good soldier by just focusing on verses 3 and 4. Verse 1 really holds the heart, the source of strength for a soldier. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because we are in a battle, as good soldiers, we must rely on Jesus Christ for His strength. Let's pray and then we'll jump right in. Father, we don't deserve Your mercy. We don't deserve Your goodness. Seems like just yesterday that I was sitting where these guys and girls are. And I always heard chapel speakers say that 20 years ago, but now I'm standing here saying it, God. And I just pray that You'll help the students to hear the heart behind this message, and more importantly, to hear Your heart, that each one of us would be stirred on the inside and understand that if we're trying to fight this in our strength, we're going to fail, but that we need Your help. And so, Lord, I pray that You'll make that clear, and we'll give You all the praise, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2005, I flew out to Palau in a preparation sort of to get ready for my family to come in 2006. And so we made our plans and I flew out by myself to this island nation. We didn't really know anyone as we were preparing to go. It's a long story how God led us there. But as I was going to land there, I was praying that the Lord would help me find housing for our family, and also establish some relationships, some friendships with some guys that maybe open the door for the gospel in the future. And I remember the Lord led us to the right place. He helped me find a place in this little village called Narbovel. And I was able to secure an apartment for us. And after finishing that, I felt like, okay, now it's time to get to know some of the guys. So I went around and I drove all over Babel Daub and all over Koror, and I would stop and talk to people as I would be going along. And I met these two men, and they said, they invited me to go spearfishing with them. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. It would be a good experience, a good opportunity to connect with these guys. And so they said, meet over here at 7 o'clock tonight. So I went over to their place, and at 7 o'clock, we drove down to the bridge. And we got to the water, and they had all the equipment I needed. And so I remember stopping those guys and saying, hey, guys, I'm not a good swimmer, and I don't know this area very well. Make sure you watch out for me. And they said, yeah, no problem, no problem. And so we got in the water, and we started walking out. You have to walk a ways out. And I stopped them, and I said, hey, guys, let's pray. And so they kind of looked at me weird, and I said, I just want to ask God for His help. And so we prayed. And I prayed that the Lord would give us safety and help us get some fish and have a good time together and to enjoy His creation. And then we went out. And boy, it was beautiful. The coral comes to life at night. It's brilliant colors, and you have a flashlight and a spear gun in this hand and snorkel. And so you're just kind of going along and you look underneath the coral and there's fish that are sleeping, and you just choose the one you want to shoot and you shoot it and put it in your little pond. So we're having a great time, and it went great for a while. But all of a sudden I looked up and they were gone. The two guys I was with. And I'm thinking, okay, so I start yelling out the guy's name and yelling for him. And he was nowhere to be seen. So I kept yelling, still no one. So I shut off my light because you can see a little bit better at night. And I looked, they were nowhere. So I thought, you know, maybe I'll head back to shore. So I turned around and started swimming back. And as I was swimming, all of a sudden I realized the coral was, I was going the opposite direction and I'm swimming. And then I realized I was stuck in the current. And then I watched the shallows disappear, and it went, the bottom dropped out. And I'm in the deep blue water. And that's where the fight began. And I was fighting for everything in me to try to survive. I didn't know where I was headed, but I could see the lights on the bridge disappearing, getting smaller. And so I started to get very nervous. And in fact, I hate to say it, but I started to panic. And I don't know if you've ever panicked in water, but it's not a good feeling. And salt water doesn't taste good. And so I was gulping it, and I realized if I don't get control of myself, I'm going to die. And so I floated on my back, and I'd swim, and I'd float, and I'd swim, and kept trying to survive. And this went on, and I kept going, and I was getting tired. And eventually my flashlight died. So I threw my flashlight down. And finally, I realized, I'm dead. Actually, I could see my funeral. It was bad. And I said, Lord, help me. I laid on my back and I'm like, finally, after all that struggle, I said, Lord, help me. And I kept swimming and fighting and swimming and fighting. And I was crying out to God. And after what seemed like forever, my knee hit coral. The tide had shifted so much that the shallows were exposed, and I was able to get to the shallows and get out of the channel to safety. But you know what happened in my mind as I was thinking about this message and what Paul was telling to Timothy? God sort of connected the dots with that story in my personal experience and what Paul was telling to Timothy. Paul said, and Timothy, you have to understand, Timothy was scared to death. Because Paul had sort of appointed him, and God had appointed him to become sort of the next Paul. And he felt like, hey, there's no way. I don't have what it takes to do that. And he's scared. He's timid. He didn't know what to do. And Paul said in verse 1, thou therefore, my son. It's an affectionate term. He's like, hey, son, calm down. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that is where we are going to focus this morning. Let's pray and ask God to just help us. Because I really believe He has something for us. So let's pray. Lord, I know that these students here are, there's a lot in their minds. There's a lot going on. And Lord, I just ask that You would still our hearts, still my heart, God. Help me to think clearly. And I pray that Your word would come to life. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would tug at people's hearts, and I pray that each person here would listen and will give You the praise in Jesus' name. There's going to be three things we're going to focus on in our time. First, we must be strong through the grace that is in Christ because the enemy is real. The enemy is real. The second reason is because we are weak. Every one of us, whether you're strong or physically strong or physically weak, we're all weak. We need God's help. And then the third reason is because Jesus has all the power. Did you know that Satan's goal is to make you quit? That's his goal. He wants you to get hung up on things at school like rules or problems with relationships. And he wants you to quit. That's his goal. He hates you. His goal is to get you off track, to get you so that you're focused on something other than what God has called you to do. You know, we are no match for Satan. We are no match for Satan. He's been around for over 7,000 years. He knows exactly the temptation to bring to you today. You may have come through a victory in one way yesterday, but he's coming at you from another angle today. He hates you. He wants to get you to quit. He wants to destroy you. You know, when we were preparing to come here, Pastor Heron from Harvest Baptist Church, by the way, he has such a big vision and burden for the places, islands in Micronesia, and has been such a huge help, such a huge supporter, and just with both counsel as well as financially to the missionaries in Micronesia. And we thank the Lord for Pastor Heron and the ministry in Harvest. But you know, he gave me this statement. He said, John, he said, Satan is going to attack the ram, but he's going to assault the lambs. And you know, when I realized what Pastor Heron was saying, it was later when I got to Palau. He attacks me. Yeah, he wants to knock me down. But if I'm standing strong, you know where he's going to go next? He's going to go for my wife and my children. And I remember our first few months in Palau, some really long, tough nights. One night that stands out in my mind, we were just adjusting, and little Allie, our oldest, was about 6 or 7 at the time. And she was, all three girls were sleeping in their room, and she woke up and came to our room and said, Dad, I heard a voice outside the window, and it was Uncle Randy, and he was calling me to come outside. And I thought, that's kind of weird. Maybe she was dreaming. She said, no, Dad, I heard it. And then I sat up and I heard it again and I heard it again. So I came to you guys. So now my heart started to pound and I ran in the room and got my daughters and brought them and put them with Jamie. And I went in the room and turned all the lights on and looked outside the second story window, and there was no one. So I got on my knees and I cried out to the Lord for help. And I really believe we heard, and the strange thing about that first few years in Palau, we would hear audible voices that would get in your mind that would scare you. Satan was using fear tactics to try to cause us to quit. You know, it may not be a fear tactic that Satan is using here at Bob Jones. I guarantee it's probably not. But there are other tactics that he will use. Discouragement. He'll use problems in relationships that'll get you so frustrated. He'll use marital struggles that will cause you to say, who am I to ever even think about doing anything for God? That's Satan's plan. His goal is to make you quit. Not only to make you quit, but to make you powerless to serve. He hates you and he hates what God wants to do through you. You know, I remember, as a freshman Bible major at Bob Jones, I wanted to do right. I really did. And I wanted to follow God with my whole heart. I'd spend time on a regular basis in the Bible. But I remember one day, it was a Saturday. I would work on Saturdays to try to pay my school bill. And there was a job I had to clean this elderly person's house. And they were away that weekend, and normally I would do their lawn work, but this particular day they asked me to clean the house. So I went inside and I was cleaning, and I came to this closet, and in the closet was a stack of pornography. And I remember my heart pounding, and I knew in my head, John, this is not right. But I remember that day, and I'm ashamed to say this, but I say it because I want, maybe this will help you. I remember falling that day, looking at that pornography. And you know what immediately came into my head after I fell in that way? After I chose to sin, I should say. You know what happened? Guilt and shame and those feelings of, John, you are worthless. You should never even consider doing anything for God. Look at you, you loser. And those feelings became so heavy and so oppressive, I just wanted to switch majors or get out and just leave it all. But you know, God's grace, and this is really the heart of what Paul was saying. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God's grace overpowered me that day. And I thank God He gave me the ability to walk away from that struggle by getting on my knees and confessing. You know what? That I wonder how differently things would be today. If I would have covered that sin, if I would have hid that, if I wouldn't have found help from others to help me become strong, I wonder how different it would be today. But God's grace becomes real when you get on your knees and admit that you are completely incapable of doing what He wants you to do. Listen, that's our second point. We need to rely on the strength that's in Christ because we are weak. You may not struggle with the same thing I struggle with, but you have something that you struggle with. If when you're cut, you bleed, you struggle with it. It's the reality of who we are. I know we like to put on the plastic facade and act like everything's good, everything's fine, there's nothing wrong. But the reality is every one of us here have a struggle. And Satan knows how to knock you down. And then he knows how to manipulate you with those thoughts of guilt and shame and make you want to quit. His goal is to destroy you. The enemy is real. We are weak. I think about the fact that Paul was saying, Timothy, be strong. And Paul knew Timothy's whole makeup was different than his. Paul was tough. He was, like MacArthur said, he's lion-hearted. But Timothy was sort of shy and timid, and he didn't really know how to handle situations like Paul. Guys and girls, if you think God is leading you to do something, but you feel that it's way too big for you, and you're not qualified or you're not wise enough, be encouraged today. Listen, I remember sitting in my senior year, they had this, I don't know if they still do it, but they had a religious comprehensive test that all the Bible majors had to take in order to graduate, in order to march. And I remember me and my buddy Bubba failed it. You talk about being ashamed. We failed the religious comprehensive test. You say, John, how did you get up here today? I mean, come on. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I do want to tell you, God uses the weak things of this world. You don't have to be brilliant. Just surrender your heart to Jesus. Just realize you're weak. Admit it. As long as you think you're tough, God's not going to use you. You may white knuckle it and force your way through and do some big things, but God's not there. Here's a great quote by Oswald Chambers. He said, all through history, God has chosen and used nobodies because their unusual dependence on Him made possible the unique display of His power and grace. He chose and used somebodies only when they renounced dependence on their natural abilities and resources. Listen, we've got to realize this. If we are depending on our own strength, we are not going to be used by God, and we will not be good soldiers. There's so much here, but I want to move to the last point as we continue. We must be strong through the grace that's in Christ Jesus, because Jesus has all the power. How can I be a good soldier? How can I be strong? How can God use me? You say, John, I don't have any gifts and abilities like some of the other guys in my class. How could God ever use me? I don't know how to stand up to the hidden desires in my heart. How can I ever walk away from that habit that I've just given into for years and years? Listen, guys and girls, you're in a war. You're in a war. And you have to understand that this war starts right in your mind. It's an all-out battle for your mind. And right now, you have to understand that this is the time to let God help you control your mind. I thank God for Bob Jones. I thank God for what it did in my life in shaping and molding me. If you had asked me back then, I would have laughed. I would say, hey, man, I wasn't really the best student when I was in my college years. But God was shaping me. And what he taught me was that I needed him. It's not about me. You know, we must be strong through the grace because Jesus has all the power. Grace is God's enabling power. Grace is God's undeserved kindness. Here's a little bit more simple. Grace is when God helps you understand that you can't do it yourself. And then he gives you the power to do it. You know what? This morning, my prayer that from this time together, we'd walk away with this. The enemy's real. I'm weak. Jesus has all the power. So I want to get right with him. It's my prayer that these next three steps would be implemented in your life, that you would make a commitment, Lord, help me. Here they are. It's simply every day, hour by hour, minute by minute, confess your sins to God. Stay right with God. You know the verse. You could quote it better than me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Get on your knees. The minute you realize you've done wrong, ask God to forgive you. Second, ask for grace. Asking for grace guarantees that God's going to pour it out on you. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you in time of need today? If you're not, someone else near you is. Ask for grace. God will pour it out. And then the third one, go to the living word every day. Get in the word. Get in the word. Meditate on it. Go after God because you want to know him, not because your PC is asking you or whoever the one who's spiritually looking over you. Get in the Word because you want to know God. And as you do, you will continue to be a good soldier. But as we get away from those three things, we're getting away from where we are called, and that's to be soldiers. Where are you at this morning? Are you walking in God's grace? You know what? Missions is not just relegated for those few people that go to the other side of the world. We are all part of missions. Every one of us here are soldiers. Whether or not we're good soldiers is really the question that we have to ask ourselves. God has called each of us to fight. And I had to address this main issue because without this, it's all just noise. It won't make sense to you. Are you relying on Jesus' strength? If you are, continue. If you're not, find somewhere today, get alone, and just ask him. Confess, ask, and then get in the Word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being so good. We don't deserve your love, God. I don't deserve to be your minister, your servant. But I just give you the praise, Lord, like Paul, that you've counted me faithful to be in the ministry. Pray that each one of these young people, Lord, would take this challenge from your word and hear the message from Paul to Timothy, but from Paul to them. Lord, help us to be soldiers that are relying on your strength. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name.